Hey, if you're at home watching right now, I hope that you're having as much fun as we are here today. Because, hey, I know that you're not here in person, but it means so much to us that you are attending with us, that you're participating. And I hope that you're laughing at my jokes, because that's what it's all about, right? Laughing at my jokes or laughing at me, one of the two. All right, we having a good time? All right, so stay with me. I got a carrot for you, and that's alcohol that starts at 5 o'clock, okay? 5 o'clock, but we have two more sessions, okay? But one thing I want to give you a little surprise. Anybody want a surprise? Okay, so remember Perry was talking about setting up a CRM and an autoresponder, and a few people raised their hand? How many of you would like to know, how many of you would like to see step-by-step how to do that? Okay, and the rest of you don't like money, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. Okay? And for those of you who are, we'll record this and make it available to you, because we won't be able to live broadcast it, I don't think. Thursday morning, 7:15 a.m., okay, in this room, I'm going to walk you through that process step by step, and we're going to, okay? Is that cool? All right, 7:15 a.m., which means that tomorrow night I have to stay up till about 1 a.m. to get it all ready. So I will be red-eyed and bushy-tailed. It's a joke. Come on. Hey, can we cue like some joke music, like wah, 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 or something like that? Okay, so two more sessions here today, but we're going to start off with somebody who is just amazing. I remember when I interviewed her for our podcast, I Love Bookkeeping. I was so impressed by her that we actually engaged her to teach a good portion of BL 4.0. Right? Yeah. Because let me be real honest with you. I'm forgetting all that crap. Okay? I've pretty much forgotten, like, this is an embarrassment. I'm going to go ahead and tell it. If y'all see me teaching anything in QuickBooks or Xero, don't come to that class, okay? I used to be able to work it. I still do our financials in Xero. And anyway, I won't totally digress on that part. But I have to get somebody else smarter than me, which isn't very hard, to teach how to do this stuff. And we always want to go with somebody, number one, who's a Bookkeeper Launch graduate. You notice how everybody in our support team is a Bookkeeper Launch graduate? And they didn't just graduate, they're successful in it. So we had to have somebody who was a graduate. We had to have somebody who was successful. We had to have somebody who could present. We had to have somebody with a personality. Okay? Now, that means we're looking for a unicorn. Okay? Because to find those four skills together is very, very difficult, okay? So we were fortunate enough to find two unicorns that flew in on rainbows to us. First unicorn was Ben Day. And the second one, who is about to kick some ass and teach you her six-figure systems. The only reason I know that is because I'm reading it right here. You probably know her as the workflow queen, but let's welcome to the stage Alyssa Lang.
Wow, this is quite nerve-wracking. I'm just going to say, if I mess up at any point, I give you guys full permission to laugh. But thank you so much for the warm welcome. I'm extremely excited to be in a room full of so many incredible friends and family at this point. But let's go ahead and get started. So I know we just got off a networking break. We're here after lunch. And I think you guys look just a little bit relaxed. So let's mix it up a bit and have some fun. At my business, Workflow Queen, I love to jazz things up. So start off with a quick little game. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. If you're not sure what it is, don't worry. I'm sure you'll catch on quick. So first, true or false, I'm inappropriately terrified of aliens. Second, true or false, I've never been able to take a vacation during tax season, because we all know, hashtag tax season. Third, true or false, I'm oddly obsessed with transcribing Zoom meetings. Which one do you think is the lie? Oops. Oops, now I gotta go back. See what happens? I knew I was gonna do something. Guys, I knew I was gonna mess up. Which one do you guys think is a lie? One, two, or three? Yeah, there it is. You guys are smart. Number two is a lie. I actually have taken a vacation during tax season. I did it the last week of tax season when I was climbing that mountain, which typically for a lot of us bookkeepers and accountants, it's the busiest week of the year. And even if you don't prepare taxes, you know as bookkeepers, you're still affected because you have to make sure to get all your books ready to hand off to Joe Schmo CPA. Am I right? So contrast that to a couple years before this picture, and I was stressed out, answering calls at 10 p.m., going crazy, trying to juggle who knows what all by myself. So have you found yourself operating that way during the busiest week of the year, where you're just giving your all to your clients, only to feel like you're hitting a wall? Hands up if you can relate. There's no judgment. Y'all are lying if you're not raising your hand. So I want you to know that you're not alone. There's so many people in this room right now that have the same feeling, and I have felt it too. And it is extremely overwhelming. So you may be here right now at BKX in Vegas with your laptop sitting in your hotel room with calling your name for you to go check out your long, dreadful task list of things you've convinced yourself you're the only one who could do it. Right? I knew I was going to forget something here. You may find yourself checking on your emails between speech to speech and actually go and checking on your emails and your task list and finding yourself not being able to make connections and not being able to absorb all this content because you're too focused trying to figure out what's happening behind the scenes and trying to make sure your clients' books aren't burning down while you're here, right? You didn't start your bookkeeping practice just to feel overwhelmed, overworked, and stressed out. Oops, that's definitely the laser pointer. You started this bookkeeping practice to create financial freedom, freedom to do as you please, and to create more room to spend time with friends and family. Isn't this why we all got into business? So how the heck did I end up on that mountain on the last day of tax season, breathing heavily, and fearing to run into another mama bear? I created systems. Systems that allowed my business to not rely on me. Systems that allowed my business to run without me. I'm so sorry, guys. This is so overwhelming. It is definitely the first new thing I have ever done. You got to try something new once, right? So systems that allowed me to create a business that revolves around my life instead of my life revolving around my business. And that's my intention here for our next 45 minutes together. I'm going to walk you through the 6 steps to creating six-figure systems so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I want you to walk away with actually having ease and clarity in running your business without having that stress and overwhelm and having to go through what I had to go through. And I want you to be able to take time off to take your own vacation, mama bear not included. So really quickly, who the heck am I to be talking about this today? What's up if you never met me? My name's Alyssa Lang, and I've been coined the workflow queen. I wore my cute necklace that my ops manager gave me. I help bookkeepers and accountants from around the world to implement tech, systems, and automation to their practice so they can scale with ease and have less tech stress and overwhelm. But here's the thing. I wasn't always the workflow queen. I was probably way opposite of that. I owned my own bookkeeping practice and my tax practice for 5 years before being coined the workflow queen. During that time, I was stressed out and overwhelmed, and I felt like I wanted to give up so many different times. I dedicated myself to making sure I can create a life that I actually wanted and actually be able to have my business not revolve around my life or my life around my business. And during that time and during that process, I really struggled to create systems because I wanted to bring on a team member. Because if you're like me, you get tired of doing the data entry. So at one point, I literally had to just dedicate myself to creating the systems that I found that nobody else was doing in this industry. So what I did was I dedicated myself and I implemented a system, went through trial and error, hired different contractors, different team members, and just kept building them. So finally, I realized I wasn't the only one who actually struggled in this industry. And that's where I started dedicating myself as the workflow queen. So my intention here is to help you to get a transformation that you can work with. So let's go ahead and get started. So I bet that when you saw the title of this whole entire speech, you were like, six-figure systems, that's sexy. But let me just keep it real with you today. Today's talk is all about workflows. Wah, wah, wah. Just kidding. Today I'm going to make workflows, systems, and efficiency the sexiest thing that you see you hear at this convention. So I hope you're excited like me. So hands up if you've ever related to this. I remember when I first started my business, I struggled to turn my brain off, and it'd be like 10 p.m., and I'd still be scrolling through my task list, wanting to have Netflix and chill, but that never happened because I was trying to handle tasks I should have done like yesterday. Hands up if you can relate to that. Well, there's more hands this time. Who doesn't want Netflix and chill? So here's the thing. What I'm going to show you today is I'm going to show you the exact blueprint for workflows that you can plug directly into any of them in your practice to help you to create more efficiency in your work and better manage your workload and make room for more clients and, dare I say, be done by five. I know that sounds dangerous, but once I'm done with you today, that's the exact process you're going to walk away with. So really quickly, what the heck is a workflow? So workflows essentially help you to get more done faster and more efficiently. There are a series of steps that ultimately help you to complete the work at hand. It's as simple as that, nothing complicated. So why do we actually need workflows in our practice? When you start to implement efficient workflows into your practice, they'll help you to hire better, leave more room for more clients, reduce errors, it can actually help you to easily outsource, and it can give you more clarity around what, when, and how something needs to be done. I keep pressing the laser pointer. What is happening here? So let's talk about a couple different ways that you might see workflows actually popping up, whether that's your project management systems, you may be using maybe Pixie, Asana, ClickUp. You also have documentation, which can be old school pen and paper, depends on the type of person you are, or maybe Google Drive, you could be using Word, however you document it, or based off memory, which is never recommended. What I want you to start doing is I want to challenge you to start documenting your workflows and processes to make things a lot easier for you. But don't worry, I'm going to walk you through the steps, I promise. So memory versus documentation. If you just focus on everything relying on your memory, the problem is you're never going to be able to actually outsource your work more efficiently. So if you actually want to scale your practice and you actually want to go somewhere and go bigger and better, you need to start taking things out of your brain and actually documenting them. When we start to document those processes, it makes it a hell of a lot easier, I promise you, to actually outsource the work. So here's a couple of example workflows that you may find yourself running into when you're running your practice. We have onboarding new clients, month-end close, we have inputting Stripe payments into QBO, and we also have posting and depositing payments for invoices. And we all know it doesn't just stop there. The list goes on. So here's the thing. The problem is you don't realize that you actually have processes around all of these. But the problem is it may just be in your head. And here's the thing. Trust me, I used to tell myself I'm the best at everything, and I'm the only one who could do anything in my company. And that was such a lie. If I would have just taken the time to actually step back and say, it's not just me who needs to do it, I probably would have consumed at least 5,700 less calories of Ben & Jerry's ice cream. Who's here can relate? I know you guys can. It's my life. And it's lagging. It's happening. There we go. Perfect. So what we're going to do is actually we're going to talk about all the different steps that you need to take to actually apply to all of your workflows in your systems. And yes, there's six. It's really that simple that you can actually take and start to apply today. So let's talk about step one. So step one is all about defining what needs to be completed, right? Everyone good on that one? Yeah? Sweet. Just kidding. So why does this step even matter? I already know what needs to be completed. Here's the thing. When you fail to clearly define what needs to be completed, it makes it a hell of a lot harder for you to actually outsource it and communicate it to a team member. Here's the thing. You as the CEO need to clearly define what actually needs to be completed so you can actually communicate that to someone else. And spoiler alert, it really isn't that hard. It can be the name of the process or the name of the task. Sound like something you guys can do? Sweet. It's the next one. Step two, determine how long it should take. So I often get asked this question, how do I know how long a task will actually take? Simple answer, time yourself doing it, and that's how you're gonna get the result. Here's the thing, while you're already doing the thing, pull out your handy dandy cheat sheets, Clockify, whatever it is that you use for your time tracking, and time yourself doing the task. This makes it really easy for you to actually extract and understand where your time is being spent. Sound good? So, let's go back. There we go. So let's talk a little bit more about time tracking. If you know me and you know my business, I am obsessed with time tracking. Myself and my team actually time everything that we do inside of our company, every little task, and this provides so much vital information for us to actually grow our business and scale it. So here's a couple of different benefits of actually time tracking, not only to lay out your actual process and tasks, but it can actually help you to identify where you're actually spending your time. How many times have you said, I'm gonna go check my email, and yet you find yourself on Facebook in the Bookkeeper Launch Family group and just asking random questions about who knows what? I know I've done that before, that's for sure. So tracking your time will help you identify how much time you actually spend on Facebook every day. Then you also have how much time you can actually outsource per client. So here's the thing, scope creep is a real thing. And the problem is if you projected that something was supposed to be done in 5 hours, but yet it took you and your team 10, then you just lost 5 hours of your time. So time tracking helps you to identify those scope creeps, so maybe you can reach out to them and say, I think it's time for a price increase, right? So also listing out missing processes. So this is something that's really big for us on our team. There are things that my project management system does not tell me to do. Unfortunately, I rely on it for my life, but there's tiny nuanced tasks that all of us do that we typically don't have processes around because we're not used to doing them. So when we time track, we can actually pull our details in our time sheets, and we can actually see what processes are missing based off the information that's inside of our time tracking system. Then you also have details on how long each process or task takes, and this also helps us to create a job description. Anytime that we are hiring in our company, our whole team actually pulls our time sheets, and we all identify and decide what we don't want to do anymore. For me, it's usually everything. It's usually just one thing. So what I don't want to do, and it helps me to build out a job description with the information that's on our time tracking system. Then you also have vital information for preparing for long-term vacations. So super fun fact, I have actually been on an unplugged vacation from my company since the start of June. And I actually don't return until next week. This is quite exciting. So during that whole process, what I did was I pulled my timesheets for 3 months prior to my long-term leave. And to prepare for that, I identified all the different pieces of things like my profit allocation, maintaining our budget, making sure we turn off my annoying Facebook ads, whatever it is, right? So I had to make sure to have all that ready to hand off to my whole team. So being able to use my time tracking system helped me a lot with those tiny nuanced tasks that now we have new processes around that I pretty much probably don't have to go back to work. But someone has to be there for me, right? So step three is defining the expectations. So here's the thing. What are my current expectations for doing this task once? That's usually what people ask themselves. But the problem is what you need to be doing is looking at this from a further distance. You as the CEO are supposed to look at things from a 30,000-foot view, right? So the reason we want to do this is we actually want to back up and say, what do I expect the outcome to be of my processes and my workflows, right? Is it going to be accurate? We got to tell them it needs to be excellent, needs to be completed on time, and needs to also have producing the same result. And this sounds like common sense, but I promise you, just labeling it out for your team and for yourself can remind you to make sure that everything's done accurately every single time by yourself or a team member. So let's talk about a couple example expectations, because you're probably like, what the hell is this? I've never even heard of this piece. But here's the thing. Let's just say that you ask one of your team members to go email one of your clients. Why not give some expectations or what kind of outcome you want? Do you want them to just say one little tiny sentence? Do you want them to actually be kind? Do you want them to be mean? Maybe they're not so fun client. You got to give expectations on what outcome you want from that process or that task. This gives some clarity for the team and for yourself. You can also label out how many times you want it done, maybe going down to depositing checks at the bank. Maybe you want them to go twice a week. So laying out exactly what you're expecting makes it easy for them to actually absorb the information. Then you have things like double-checking for accuracy. Going back to, it's kind of redundant, but it is what it is. Then you have ensuring that the right account is used. So how many times have you tried to train someone new and they don't post things to undeposited funds or they post it to the wrong account? Just defining the expectations around it makes it really easy for them to remember, don't forget to check what account you're supposed to be depositing it to. And these are just a couple little examples of some of the different types of expectations you can be labeling for your processes. So that's step three, is defining the expectations. So for step four, we have determine who needs to complete it. Psst, it's not you. And it's not Sally Jo either. It's the role. And this part's really, really important. A lot of times we have to say, this person's supposed to do this, which yes, our project management system does tell us who's supposed to do it, but ultimately at the end of the day, you need to start assigning roles to all of your processes, so that way when that person leaves you, you can easily fill that role and identify all the different tasks and processes that they were taking care of, right? So let's talk about a couple example roles, and a lot of you may already have a lot of these people filling those roles, data entry bookkeepers, you have account managers, virtual assistants, or pretty much any position that you hire for, right? So here's the thing. This is what we do, and I highly recommend that you implement something like this. What we do is we actually have a master spreadsheet that we use in our company that notes every single process that we have. Every little thing is detailed out, the time that we do it, the role, whoever's supposed to be in charge of it, and then who is currently in charge of it. Because yes, the role is supposed to be taking care of it, but you have to identify who's actually the person now on your team doing it. So creating something like this actually brings a lot of transparency for myself and my team. I know at the end of the day exactly what team member is in charge of. Maybe it's our email marketing, whatever it is that we actually are doing, maybe a certain client's books. So when you're labeling out your processes, you can actually make more notes and be transparent with yourself and your team around who's doing what. So that's actually step four. And now we're at step five, which is list the information needed to complete the task. So here's the thing. A lot of people think it's just the subtasks that maybe you'll put in your project management system, but it's way more than that. Here's the thing. What if you asked one of your team members to go to the bank, deposit checks for your clients, but you failed to tell them what bank? Sounds like you'd think they would know, but what bank it's at, what's the address, what account number are we depositing it to, what business name are we writing down? If you're not giving that information, you are literally doing your company a disservice, because guess what? Your team member will come back to you and say, what was I supposed to do? And you know how annoying it is when your team member emails you 10 times in a day to ask you stuff that you could have just given them up front? But here's the thing. One fail-proof way that we actually apply this concept inside of our company is the Homer Simpson test. So what the heck is the Homer Simpson test? If Homer Simpson came into your practice today to at least do something, maybe one task, maybe go to the bank and deposit something without stopping at a bar inside of Vegas, because we all know it's hashtag Vegas, if there's not and he can't do that, there's not enough information. So you need to front load as much as you possibly can. Literally, there's no such thing as too much information. I'm telling you, I promise. I would rather my team not come to me for that and give me the brain space I need to make executive decisions inside of my company. So here's an example of documenting out some of your information. So here's just a little snippet. You're going to see up top here we have things like what's the mailing address location. We actually put in our information what is the direct Google Drive link that we need to upload the check images to. How do we want to name the actual file? Because nothing drives me more insane as a business owner when my team member does not name my files how I like it. So instead, I knew you guys were going to relate to that one. So I like to front load, and I tell my team exactly how we're going to name it, and I list it out with the information. I also tell them exactly what account number, and if it's sensitive information, I don't suggest just throwing it on a Google Doc. Any information that they're going to need to actually execute the work. Now, if Homer Simpson were to come in right now and actually do this for me, I know that he would actually be able to do it. There would be no questions asked that Homer Simpson would stop and get a drink. Well, I probably would, but it's Vegas. So that's pretty much what you want to do. It breaks down that necessary information that you're going to need in order to outsource it, not only to yourself, but also your team, right? Because I also forget the name of, you know, whatever it is, the company or what account we're supposed to go to or what the address was. You're literally breaking your mental space by not just front-loading your own information, because you don't want to have to think about it every single time, especially if you're juggling so many clients. So that's going to be step five, which is all about including all the information. So I highly suggest that this is one of the things that you implement the most, is this step. So now we have step six, which is the last step, and this is all about actually listing out what you can trash or automate or maybe improve in any of your processes. So here's the thing. You can't run a six-figure business on four-figure systems. That's just how it is. Unfortunately, you have to change. You have to allow your systems to adapt and improve, and also like maybe automate it, whatever it is that you needed to do. So here's the thing. One of the things that we do at our company, and yes, we're team workflow queens, so the whole team is obsessed with processes. We actually do a team review every 30 to 60 days, and I highly suggest that you create a process around reviewing processes. Yes, it's like Inception. So every 30 to 60 days, whatever time frame, it could be once a year, it could be quarterly, whatever makes the most sense for you, it's to have yourself and your team to roll through all those processes. That spreadsheet that I showed you guys earlier, that actually included all the roles and all the people who are in charge of those roles, this is when that comes in handy. That information right there, when we do our review, nobody has to say, I don't even know what I'm in charge of. Go check your spreadsheet. That's all you got to do. So that's what we do in our team. We absolutely love that day. It's literally a whole day where we go through and we ask ourselves, what can I trash, what can I improve, and what can I actually automate? We use a lot of different systems for these, and I'm going to show you some of our little systems that we use. And this, the best part about these two, it also helps our team to actually like grow with the company, because when they're reviewing their own processes that they perform every day, they probably make mental note all the time about what needs to be improved. Maybe there's a piece about an email that we can automate instead of having to send it every single time. So I would highly suggest you do a team process review. So a couple of different tools that you could be using to actually automate your practice. One thing is Zapier. I'm not sure if you use it, but if you don't, I highly suggest checking it out. I'm obsessed with Zapier. Anytime my team says we need to create a Zap, I'm like, I'll do it. I'll be the one there. Anything that has to do with systems, actually. Right? So then we can also use things like Dubsado or HoneyBook. That helps you to onboard your clients. That way you're not just like constantly having to send out those emails, send out the proposals. Instead, you can actually cut your time down by starting to implement new systems. Then you can also sign up for something like Asana, ClickUp, or Pixie, whatever project management system is your choice. That really is going to help you to actually automate the process of assigning tasks where they can be repeated. You don't have to sit there and tell them every single day. It's right in front of them. Then you also have things like Notion, Google Drive, or OneDrive. So starting to implement these different types of systems allow you to easily outsource the work. If you're a pen and papers type of person, you're trying to get your team who's virtual, unfortunately, you're going to have to implement something a little bit more online and a little bit more robust. So here's the thing. In our company, what we do typically is anytime we're rolling out a new program, a new system, is we usually test it for 90 days. Right now, we are currently rolling out Notion to try to see if we can create a brain for our company. And in that process, we're taking 90 days. We're using our timesheets to see if it's making us more efficient or if it's actually failing us. So I highly suggest it's okay to start a system and drop it if it doesn't make sense for you, right? So when we're improving our processes, we're really using our timesheets for a lot of this. We are looking, if something's taking us 2 hours, but we can cut it down to 1 hour by switching over to Dubsado, you bet your sweet ass I'm going to switch that over, right? And also templating things as well. So we love templates, whether they're Asana templates, ClickUp templates, whatever they are, or also emails as well. What we typically do is if we find ourselves sending the same email over and over again, we're going to template it. We're going to make sure it's there and that the team knows about it. Any time that you can template anything, I highly suggest you do it because it can cut your time in almost half. And also, make sure you put it in your calendar as well to do your team process review. Some of you don't have a team right now, so you are the team. So unfortunately, you are reviewing all the processes. But I highly suggest that even if you do it and you think you've got it down to a T, I suggest that you still go back and review all your processes. And here's the thing. I highly suggest if you do have a team here or you want a team that you involve your team in these types of things. It is so big and one of my number one company values and also a part of our culture that we love when our team actually steps forward and says, like, I want to make this improvement. This is not working for me. This isn't right. How can we make it better? So I want you to actually focus on allowing your team to support you because you'd be surprised that your team can actually do a lot of these processes for you without you having to write them. Everybody here probably thinks that I have to do it. We actually use Loom to record ourselves actually doing the thing, and then I simply just tell the assistant, can you please make a process out of this? So it makes it really easy for you to bring someone else on that can actually support you, so your team can help to drive your systems forward as well. So let's do a quick little recap of these six steps to creating six-figure systems. We have 1, define what needs to be completed. 2 is determine how long it should take. 3 is to define the expectations. 4 is determine who needs to complete it. Step 5 is to list out the information needed to complete each task. And then the last step is where we're going to actually trash, improve, or automate whatever we possibly can. Implementing these 6 steps can help you tremendously with your processes and your systems, whether there's a lack thereof or you have systems already in place. I highly suggest that you actually start to apply these inside of your practice as often as you possibly can. Maybe it's one process a week, once a month, however often it works for you. So here's the thing. Nobody else is going to write your systems for you or your processes or your workflows. You have to put in the work. You have to put in that front-loading work to actually gain 10 times that amount back. If I didn't have systems or processes in my business, there is no way I would have been able to take 3.5 weeks off, unplugged, without seeing anything that's happening in my company. Once you start to create these systems, it makes it easy that, 1, you can still make money, and 2, you can actually be able to enjoy your life or do whatever the hell you want, right? So I highly suggest that you start to actually implement these 6 steps. So here's the thing. If you want to learn more about actually implementing these 6 steps into your practice, I will be here literally all week. I will be here till Friday, actually. So if you want to come chat with me, I'd love to talk, and I'd love to work things through. If you know me, you know that I love to break down systems and I love to talk through problems and try to solve them with other people. So, I just want you to know, they don't call me the workflow queen for nothing. So I also want you to know, too, you're in a room full of so many incredible bookkeepers, and I'm telling you, I obviously didn't wake up one day as workflow queen. It literally took time. It took literally dedication and overwhelm, stressing, crying, everything in between. The thing is, you're also not alone, and I'm here to support you, and all these people in this room are also here to support you as well. So here's the thing. My goal for you is that you're going to be here next year at BKX, laptop free, vacation autoresponder on, enjoying yourself, instead of being stressed out and overwhelmed, being here mid-work week, thinking about your clients and what needs to happen, right? Because my goal for you is to be able to take your vacation, and that way you can climb your mountain, and that's my goal. So I'd love to open this up. We got about 18 minutes. If you guys have any questions, I'd be more than happy. And by the way, if you're catching this virtually, we miss you and we wish you were here so I can give you a hug. And you can connect with me on Instagram at Workflow Queen. Yay.
Awesome. Wow.